University of Louisville Archives. Today is November 24th, 1981, and I'm talking to Professor Walter Lee Moore, who is one of the emeritus professors at U of L, taught in the mathematics department here since 1929, I think.
That's right.
And we're here to have Dr. Moore recollect about his background and his memories of the university. And we have a list of questions that I've submitted to Dr. Moore beforehand, and we've pretty much agreed to take them in order. And the first one is to ask Dr. Moore to discuss the origins of his interest in mathematics and astronomy. When was the mathematician in you born?
That I think I can answer pretty well in this way, that the influence of Professor Slate at Albion College was the real start of my interest in mathematics. I didn't have any prior interest in that, and that is the way in which I got started in the mathematics. But my interest, I'm going to give a little bit extra.
Okay.
My interest in teaching, which I wanted to do for a career, started when I was a high school student and was invited at the time that I was a senior to take the place of a teacher who was out sick in the eighth grade. And I taught the eighth grade for, I guess about a month. And then I had to make up my work in the high school, which I could do pretty well. And it was that experience of teaching that gave me the idea that I wanted to be a teacher. And so I was planning to go ahead with that program and took the examination which was necessary in the county in which I lived. It was a county examination for all teachers that had to take if they hadn't been a normal school. And I passed the examination all right, and when I graduated from high school at this little town that I went to, and which I'll talk about a little bit later on the questions that you asked. But just for this part of it, then I will say this only, that I became interested because of that experience that I had in teaching this eighth grade class. So I knew this was the career that I wanted to follow in my lifetime. So that's the interest in my mathematics. Now the astronomy interest didn't really come until I arrived at the University of Louisville. But I did have a course in college. Now, this skips high school. I had a course in college in astronomy, and I had a very lazy instructor, and he turned over the keys to the observatory to me, and he knew that I was pretty good with my hands, and I had some facility for machine work, and there was a Reifler clock, which is a very accurate clock, that didn't work. And they had a telescope that the bearings had become a little bit hard to use. And so he turned the keys to the observatory over to me, and I fixed up the clock and got it running. And I fixed up the telescope and got it running. And then I played around with it without any real direction. The course was simply out of the book that I learned, and that was my first introduction to astronomy. But I must confess that my interest was not in astronomy, it was in the repair of the instrumentation which went into the observatory. So that the real astronomy interest that I now have and have had for many, many years came when I arrived at the University of Louisville in 1929 But not then. It didn't come until the Depression of 1930.
Uh-huh.
And I think it would interest people who, if they ever do look at these, would interest people that my interest in astronomy, to start with, it didn't last long, but to start with, my interest was in keeping myself in a full-time position. There were only two of us in the math department, and I'll talk about that later.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I'll just make this comment that the astronomy interest was due to the fact that if I had not had this course in astronomy, I would have had to go on part-time teaching mathematics because of the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
As you may know from the records in the archives, we took a 14% cut
mm-hmm.
in that period, the whole faculty and staff and everybody else. And I know a friend of mine who was in the language department got put on part-time, and I made up my mind I wasn't going to be put on part-time. So since I'd had this half his one-year course in astronomy at Albion College long before I came here,
mm-hmm.
that this was the thing that I'd like to do in addition to the mathematics. So I got an appointment at Yerkes Observatory in the University of Chicago
mm-hmm.
and went up there during the summer before, that was about, I don't remember the dates for sure, but somewhere around 1932
mm-hmm.
or somewhere in that area. And I went up there in the summertime, and they turned the key of the observatory over to me, and I had free access to the whole thing, which is very good.
Uh-huh.
And I promised that I wouldn't bother anybody, or I wouldn't bother any of the instruments, and they recognized that. They knew my background, so that, I had this opportunity. And I was there for about 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and I would talk with the professors while they were guiding on the telescope. They could guide and talk to me at the same time. So I used to watch them while they were doing their researches. As you may know, Yerkes is an entirely research instrument, a 40-inch instrument, and it wasn't available to the general public to look through, and I didn't get much chance to use it. I didn't expect to.
Mm-hmm.
But I did get a chance to talk to the professors who were doing the research, and they were all interested in what I wanted to do, and so I got an awful lot of information and inspiration there at the Yerkes Observatory in astronomy, and that's where, this is in 1932 now, long before I started, that this is what gave me the impetus to start astronomy. Of course, once I started, then I became interested in astronomy itself. But as I told you, I must confess that my interest was in keeping myself busy.
Well, that's a legitimate interest. Maybe we can back up a little bit and and talk about your family and your hometown and your young days.
I was born in a log cabin along with not in the same cabin, of course, but along with many famous people. And I lived in, I was born on a farm in the northern part of the North Peninsula of Michigan. The town is no longer in existence. It was called Bagnell.
Mm.
But Bagnell finally even got off the map, and it's no longer a town by name. It's one of the ghost towns because its main interest was a sawmill.
Hmm.
And when the lumber interest in that area became numbered out, well, then the sawmill just quit. And when the sawmill quit, then everybody that was associated with Bagnell would quit also. And consequently, that didn't last too long. My greatest influence as a youngster was my sister. My older sister, I was the fourth of a family of four, the baby in the family, and my older sister took care of me because my mother was too busy doing the necessary things on the farm. And so my older sister took charge of me, really, and used to rock me and do all things like that, and take care of my playthings and pick up after me and do, you know, just, she was really a second mother. And it was that interest of my sister, who herself was unable to get an education beyond the eighth grade until she had been married and raised a family, and then she got an education in high school. But she was interested in education, and she insisted that my family allow me to go to school. Well, as a youngster, this might interest anybody that goes back to that area, especially this modern age where you, kids won't walk a block if they don't have a bus. We walked a mile and three quarters to school all my life in the elementary education in a one-room school. And when I went to high school, that town, Mesick, Michigan, was 4 miles away from where the farm where I was born. And for 3 years, after my sister got my family's permission to get away from the farm work and go to school rather than do farming, which I hated worse than poison, I walked 4 miles back and forth and then did the chores that youngsters on the farm are necessary to do before I went to school. Well, that doesn't sound as bad as it really is, because on this walk to school, I was able to study while I was going back and forth to school. As a result of which, I'm proud to say, I was a valedictorian of a class of eight when I graduated I think it was the spring of 1917.
From high school?
Was that?
From high school?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My college was a little bit different, as I'll tell you later. Then, at that time, my main interest, really, strangely enough, was in languages.
Mm-hmm.
Because one experience that I had, which to me was a real experience, I took a German course, and the teacher of the German was not a native German, but there was a family of Germans that lived west of us, and every weekend I went, while I was in high school, I went to this German family and would talk to them and pick up the pronunciation. Well, the upshot of it was, I think this was in my sophomore year in high school, the upshot of it was that at the end of the first semester, I was taking first year German, the teacher came to me and said, would you like to go into the second year German class in the middle of the semester? And I said, well, I sure would if I can do it. And she looked at me and said, well, I know you can do it because you have already acquired quite a vocabulary in German. And my speaking was real German because I was a good mimic in those days, and I actually could mimic the German conversation so that I sounded like a German. And so I took the second year German and then read all the books that they read in the first year, continued my first year German, and at the end of that 1 year, I got credit, high school credit, for 2 years of German. With a grade of A, I'm thankful to say. My English didn't do so well. When I went to college, I got good grades in everything but English, and I got a D in English, which kept me out of the honor roll. So the reason for that, and I've been very much interested in it because other students might have the same trouble, I didn't realize that the language that the English professors used in college was quite different from the language that I used when I grew up. And it wasn't until, I think it was my freshman year in college, that I realized I had to learn a new language than the English as it was spoken in college. Well, that it was already too late, because by that time I've already got my duty to see me. But I think she got a little bit later than you should use that. But that's if I had had money enough, which I didn't, to travel, I would have majored in languages rather than in mathematics. But in Albion College, I had this Professor Slate that I was telling you about a moment ago, and he got me interested in mathematics, and my interest in math was the same as my interest would be in a foreign language. I had an excellent memory at that time, which I'm sorry to say I don't have anymore, so that my work in mathematics was really understanding what the mathematics was all about and being able to repeat what it was I learned. I didn't have much trouble in learning any of the mathematics that I had in college. I got A's in all my courses in mathematics and B's in all my courses in English.
Excuse me, go ahead.
Well, as a result of this and my work at Albion College, I was able, when I graduated, by the way, it took me 6 years to go through college because of finances. I was unwilling to go in debt, and I worked 1 year in a machine shop, and then I took 1 year off and taught school in a high school at Chesapeake, Michigan. And I didn't teach mathematics because they already had a mathematics teacher, and I taught physics and several general courses. One of them that I taught in high school I hadn't had any college instruction in at all. That was physiology.
Oh, really?
I remember that much. And I was also the coach and athletic director for this high school. I was the man teacher in a high school that was almost all women teachers, except for the superintendent, who was the man. So I had the athletic department on my hands. That's one thing that I don't think would happen now in either Albion or in the University of Louisville or any other school for that matter, because of the fact that I had to work, and I worked at several jobs which are physically things. The college did something that I think was wrong at that time. They let me out of all physical education. And as a result of which, while I kept good health, I didn't play any games. And I really, it's predicted throughout my life and been one of the things that I suppose I shouldn't be thankful for. And that is, I don't enjoy spectator sports at all. I mean, I have no interest in football or basketball or anything of that sort. I think that's a mistake, really, because I should have been put into this physical education program. But I understand they don't do that here. And even if the student works, he still has to take physical education. But I got out of that. No, I came, after I graduated from high school, I came to Albion College in 1918, and you may remember that 1918 was the year in which we won World War I.
Yeah.
And I got this chance to go to college. I never would have had it if it hadn't been for this, that the Army needed college trained people to take over the lower officer class. And so we had, when we enlisted in the Army, we enlisted in what is now the ROTC, but then they called it SATC was the letters that they went. And
Student Army Training Corps.
Children's Army Surgery Corps. That was it. That was the technical name.
Yeah.
What they called us, of course, was the Saturday Afternoon Tea Club. So I went to college, and a banker in Mesick, Michigan, who knew me and knew a little bit of my training in high school and my experiences there, he gave me $20 on loan when I went there, and later gave me another $20 when I really was, I had to have it, because at that time, as you may know, the Army didn't pay much. They only paid $21 a month, out of which you had to take an allowance for laundry. That didn't really keep you going in college. So I was there in college until the, we went in September, and I think we were mustered out right after the armistice, fairly soon. And but we did get that semester credit in college. We finished it up. And then I was insistent that I get my college education. I'd already got a taste of college, and that's what I wanted to do. So I did odd jobs and went back the second semester on this loan of $20 from the banker, without interest, by the way, but I had to repay it back later. And I went there, and by doing odd jobs and things of that sort, I was able to put myself through college and pay my tuition and so forth. And I could do that because college tuition in those days was very cheap. I'm sorry, I can't remember how much it was, but it was very, very low. And I boarded myself instead of going to the cafeteria, so that my living expenses, while they weren't adequate for a good diet, they were adequate for my pocketbook. And so then I finished up my 4 years of college that way. I might add also, before we get off the subject of high school, and that's the last thing I think I want to talk about on that, that I walked to school, as I told you a moment ago, 4 miles during my first 3 years. But in my senior year, I got a room at Mesick, Michigan, instead of staying at home and walking. I stayed in this room and did my senior work there. I was only came home over a weekend, so that that was beside the point, really, but it did help out a little bit in my grades, I think, because although I told you a moment ago, that 4 mile walk was really really paid off, because I did my studying, a lot of it, while I was walking back and forth to school. It's amazing what you can do on 4 mile hike if you're not too interested in the surroundings and so forth. I remember several times forgetting to turn off the road that I had to go along, and when I had to turn off in order to go home, several times I'd find myself anywhere from a quarter to half a mile beyond, because I'd get interested in what I was doing and studying, and I'd just walk along and study and forget to turn off at the proper point. And then I'd have to back up and come back again. So many days that I traveled more than the 4 miles to school because of that.
Yeah.
That, I think, completes pretty much what I want to say about my high school.
Okay.
And also about my college, I think I talked enough about that, because as I say, Dr. Slate was very much interested in me, and by that time I knew that I wanted to do mathematics. That's when mathematics. And I might add that your term mathematician, I have a different concept. I distinguish, and I'd like this to go on the record, I distinguish between a mathematics teacher and a mathematician. Now, a mathematician is the person who creates mathematics. The mathematics teacher who is able to tell other people what it is that these mathematicians create. And while I think I was very good And I think if you look up my record, you'll find that this is true. I was very good as a mathematics teacher, but I had a tremendous flop as a mathematician. Because while I could remember, and I had very good memory, which did me very well in geometry, which is my major field.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, you have to remember the axioms and theorems that go to make up the thing, and I could do that very well. But when it comes to taking up new theorems, I wasn't quite so good. So that in my graduate training, when after I had graduated, and well, you may want to talk about that. I think I've gone.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I think I've gone down to about everything that that I can think of.
Okay.
In this way, and when you wanted to ask, I think, what was it like to attend college during the 1910s and 1920s? I can say that it was like being in any school because I was only interested in what I was learning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to say, I'm not proud of it. I wasn't interested at all in what the students were doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was just interested in the subject matter that I was learning.
Can you tell a little bit about Albion College and the town that it was in?
Well, Albion College is a private institution under the aegis of the Methodist Church in Michigan.
I see.
And while I was in the college, I joined the church.
I see.
Mainly, not because I was interested in the church, mm-hmm. but I was interested in the contacts I was making in college, I must confess.
Mm-hmm.
And I was treasurer, for example, of the Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me that job because they knew I was on it. It wouldn't run off with the money. And and incidentally, along that subject, when I was in graduate school, I was also a treasurer of the graduate student body, graduate student club that they had there.
Mm-hmm.
We gave dances and had various things, and I was the treasurer of that for 1 year. So that kind of resisted the law. But what was it like to be a student? Well, I don't know really what the other students did. I don't know what the life on the campus was like, because I had this, I don't think I told you this before, but I had a company in Albion who was not interested in me personally, but they were very interested in students. And as a result, the head of that company, the Union Steel Products Company in Albion, who made bakery equipment, would hire students even though they didn't need them. So I got in on that, and they knew I was needy student. I had to work, or I couldn't have gone to school. So that my days were pretty long, and I think I would have gotten better grades in English maybe if I had had more time to put to it. But I just didn't. I mean, I had to live,
sure.
To eat, sure, so forth. And I boarded myself in college, and I couldn't afford to go to the restaurant, even in the college restaurant, although it was pretty cheap. But I lived in a room and did my own cooking and that sort of thing. And it didn't bother me because I was quite willing to do this in order to get the college education. And it didn't occur to me that I was having a bad time. I enjoyed myself thoroughly. Then at the end of my college career, I think it was my senior year, when they gave out scholarships to the University of Illinois, they gave out the scholarships to a student who was just a little bit better than I was, and he got the scholarship for the next year.